Walden Pond Press and Harper Audio present Not Quite a Ghost by Anne Ursu. Performed by Eva Kaminsky. To Mom and Dad. 1. The House on Katydid Street. The house stood a little apart from the rest of the block, as if it did not quite fit in. Perhaps it was wary of the other houses, or perhaps it was the other houses that wished to keep their distance from it. If only houses could talk, then one of them could tell us which it was. Of course, if houses could talk, they could also lie. Maybe that explained why the house at 1664 Katydid Street sold so suddenly after sitting empty for so long. Maybe it had grown tired of standing there. Apart and alone. Maybe being apart and alone is what comes of telling people the truth. Whatever the reason, Caitlin Hart and Elliot Eddington started putting together an offer as soon as they walked out of the house. That offer was made and accepted before their kids even had a chance to see it. "We got an amazing deal," Ms. Hart had said. "We couldn't wait," Mr. Eddington affirmed. Why not? When the house had been waiting for so long. Something about contingencies and loopholes, timing and today's market. The price had just been reduced, you know. If they hadn't acted now, someone else would have snapped it up. And it was so hard to find a house in their price range that would give them all the rooms they needed. So they had to do the snapping. They were apologetic. After all, when they started looking for a new home for the family, they'd promised that they'd let the kids see the house before they made a final decision, though Owen was barely 3 and really only had opinions about zoo animals and cheese. Yes, they'd promised. But at 11 years old, Violet Hart knew that promises from adults always came with contingencies and loopholes. Still, they had to move, Violet knew. Their home didn't hold them anymore. It was meant for a family that no longer existed. Violet's parents had bought it a few months before she was born. Violet had lived there with her mother, father, and her older sister Mia until Violet was in preschool. Then her father left, and it became a house of 3. A few years later, Elliot moved in, and the new family of 4 decided to stay put, to maintain a sense of normalcy for the girls. Then Owen was born. So Violet moved into Mia's room, because we have to make do with what we have. This worked for a while, until it didn't anymore. That was when Elliot and Mom started looking for a new home, to hold the family we are now. So now the whole family was loaded in the car. In the front, Violet's mom and stepdad chatting to each other. In the back, Mia studying her phone, as she was so often found doing. Owen in the middle, softly singing to himself, as he was so often found doing, and Violet staring out the window, as she was so often found doing, all heading to see the house that would soon be their new home, the place where their puzzle piece family would have room to join together as one whole. It was the beginning of September in Minneapolis, the time of year when summer made its last stand, and as the car turned a corner, the sunlight, seeming to resent Violet's inquisitive gaze, suddenly flooded through the car window. The trees that lined the street did their best to hold the brightness back, their branches pressing against the encroaching sky. But there was only so much that they could do. Violet's eyes stung. She turned toward Owen, who grinned at her from his throne of a car seat.
"Bunny," he whispered to her.
Violet made a fist, put up 2 pale fingers to make bunny ears, and bounced her hand up and down. Owen clapped his hands and giggled wildly, and then let out a loud, wet cough. Since he'd started preschool 2 weeks ago, he was constantly surrounded by a cloud of germs so thick it was nearly visible, a shimmering, infectious aura, gleaming just beyond the capabilities of human perception. "Owen!" snapped Mia so loudly, Violet started. "Cover!"
"Mia, be nice," their mom said. "He'll get us all sick, Mom." Sample complete. Ready to continue?